Hey, listeners, thanks for tuning in to the Digital Policy Salon podcast, your behind the research conversations with the Information and Communications Technology Council. I'm your host, Nathan Snyder. If you have a moment after listening today, please leave a review wherever you tune in and let me know what you think of the show. ICTC's latest labor market forecast, Onwards and Upwards, Digital Talent Outlook 2025, examines the most in-demand occupations across the digital economy and their associated competencies and skills. The report contains an analysis of the impacts of COVID-19 on Canada's economy, key trends in consumer behavior and digitization, and the effect of new technologies on productivity, innovation, and the workforce. It also includes employment forecasts for Canada's digital economy and six key innovation areas. You can check out the show notes for a link to the report. To expand on this, I'm joined today by ICTC authors Marina Eavis and Akshay Katuk, who are going to introduce us to what the digital economy actually is, Canada's six key innovation areas, and how the country's recovery process is currently shaping up. So let's kick things off. Hey guys, thanks so much for joining me.
Hey Nathan.
Cheers, Nathan.
Perfect. Okay. So I figured in order to get things kicked off properly, it's probably best that we describe what the digital economy actually is for listeners that might not be aware. And is it the businesses, the workers that make up the digital economy, or how does it really stack up to Canada's economy as a whole? And I figured what we could do is turn things over to Akshay for an introduction.
Sounds good, Nathan. Yeah, I mean, it's an important concept and also a fairly nebulous one still. You know, statistical agencies like StatCan, the US Bureau of Economic Analysis, and the OECD are still working on a standardized definition. Moreover, it's a constantly evolving definition because, you know, as technology and business models continue to evolve at a rapid pace, so too should a definition of what the digital economy comprises. Yeah. I think the current methodology at StatCan and the BEA is focused on sort of the addition of value for digital economic activities, which involves sort of aggregating the value added by in the creation of their short list of digital goods and services, which includes things like digital enabled infrastructure, so hardware, software, telecoms, digitally ordered transactions, e-commerce, digital platforms, and digitally delivered products like digital media and content. So StatCan has a list of industries, which make use of these, that produce these goods and services.
Okay.
And what we at ICTC do, you know, given our labor market focus, is to think of the digital economy as both comprised of these digital industries, but also of digital occupations. You know, what we're finding is that, you know, data scientists, for example, now work not just in traditional sort of technical industries, but also in, you know, industries like finance or healthcare or sort of retail or natural resources. So what our understanding and our conception of the digital economy is comprising workers in digital industries and in digital occupations. And so what we do is we sort of amalgamate the two, making sure not to double count the workers, the digital workers who are also in digital industries. So what we found was that this amalgamation of digital occupations and digital industries had an employment of about over 2 million in Canada in the first quarter of 21. And we forecast a growth of about 250,000 more jobs over the next 5 years through end 2025.
Okay.
And what we've seen is that this basically means that, you know, pre-pandemic, it was about 9.5% of the aggregate employment in Canada. And it's gotten a boost in the through COVID, and we expect it to have settled at a higher level now of around 10.5 to 11% of all employment in Canada. Furthermore, I mean, you know, it's a constantly evolving definition, as I said. You know, occupation classifications and industry definitions, you know, by their very nature, are backward looking because you're trying to categorize job functions, you know, into well-fitting definitions and sort of semantics. Whereas what we see is that, you know, jobs are morphing and skills that are seen as germane for success in the future are evolving constantly. For example, you know, we did a recent study looking at sort of key occupations that are emerging in smart cities in Canada. And what we find is that, you know, skills that weren't traditionally thought of as sort of conventional tech skills, you know, skills like risk management, inclusivity and equity, ethics, sustainability and resilience, innovation, along with, you know, more traditional skills like cybersecurity, are all becoming foundational for the digital economy these days. So it's a constantly evolving space. And, you know, we at ICT, part of what I really enjoy about our work at ICTC is that, you know, we're contributing to this debate and using, you know, like using technology, using scraping of data, scraping of job postings to kind of inform, what the definition of the digital economy is in terms of jobs and skills.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, and it keeps us leading edge as well, which is fantastic. Indeed. No, I think that's really good. So you're to almost summarize, you're talking about the industry combination mixed with the roles and occupations specifically. So instead of looking at one of the two issues in a silo, you're combining both of them so that you can allow the space to accommodate new and kind of leading edge roles, responsibilities, skills.
Indeed. I mean, you know, more and more we're finding tech workers, like in non-traditional tech sectors. You know, you have programmers that are essential to the functioning of banks, the functioning of retail stores, or data scientists being used in everything from, you know, healthcare, natural resources, even sports. So, there's a big proliferation of digital skills. So,
yeah, 100%. Okay, that's fantastic. One of the things that I really like to do in these podcasts episodes is talk to you guys about your own individual research. So what's really interesting that stood out to you, given that you've been working on these reports sometimes for a year, sometimes for multiple years, it's really good just to get kind of boots on the ground level insight. So Marina, maybe we'll start with you. What do you think stood out to you the most as being sort of a researcher on this project?
Yeah, great question, Nathan. So first of all, the Outlook report is a flagship ICTC report that has been published every 2 years or so. And every time it's an interesting experience, a new experience for several reasons. And two of those, first of all, the fast change in digital economy, and second, the impact of new and unpredictable global circumstances such as COVID-19.
Yep.
So the part of the project that I enjoy the most about this project and about other projects that I'm working on at ICTC is blending secondary data with primary data. And by the primary data, I mean interviews with subject matter experts from industries across Canada, and including innovation areas that we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. And these interviews provide us with firsthand insights that allow us to get so-called reality check, as people directly involved offer their feedback on what's going on in the digital economy.
All right, Akshay, what about yourself? What stood out to you the most?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I particularly enjoyed about this particular project was sort of working on a survey that we conducted for the digital economy. You know, there was a lot of talk going into when we were writing this report about, you know, how it was anecdotal evidence about how digital economy sort of did, you know, relatively better, and that it was able to transition to a remote work new normal with relative ease compared to the rest of the industry. But, you know, we fortunately, just given the timing of the project, we had the opportunity to sort of put this to the test and try and quantify this to some degree. And we were able to do this by sort of designing and conducting a survey focused on digital economy firms in Canada to run sort of to coincide with StatCan's periodic survey of business conditions, which is sort of a survey across businesses all across Canada. And it just so worked out that there was a bunch of questions focused on sort of the impact of COVID on revenues on balance sheet, on the balance sheet health and so
sure,
on,
sure, yeah.
And the outlook. And so we were able to basically mirror the survey, but focus it on a subset of Canadian companies that sort of comprised, that were participants of the digital economy.
Okay.
And what it helped us do was sort of use the StatCan data set as a control group and really sort of, you know, put some sort of quantification to, you know, the relative performance of the digital economy in Canada to the baseline economy. And you know, there's some pretty interesting insights that we found that we've put in the report, which include the fact that a significantly higher proportion of digital economy firms had a more positive outlook in the medium term, in terms of expansion plans, in terms of the health of their balance sheet. And, you know, this was driven by factors, including the fact that they had a better online sales presence, you know, which kind of helped them continue to preserve revenues. And sort of, you know, this helped us inform assumptions that went into our sort of employment projections for the digital economy in Canada. And it also was an opportunity for us to gather sort of primary data on the skills and jobs that were sort of in immediate demand for these companies.
So out of curiosity, and this would be total speculation, but if we were to look into the future a little bit, do you think that this is a trend that's obviously going to increase or overlap into other industries? I mean, obviously ones that work in the ICT field are a little bit more resilient, we would suspect, because they're sort of innately tech. But obviously, the six different innovation areas that we'll touch on in a second, some of them are a little bit more traditional. Like, do we see that tech adoption? Do we see that tech resilience, things like that, are going to increase, we suspect, in the future? Or what are your thoughts on that?
what we're seeing is that, you know, the like more and more of the economy is becoming digital. Like we're seeing a proliferation of digitization, and it's obviously been given a boost by the pandemic, you know, which has sort of forced behavior changes at the consumer and the business level. I definitely anticipate this trend to sort of persist, even if there's a bit of a bounce back after the pandemic off sort of in-person business and in-person activity. Overall, I do expect this, you know, some of these changes to remain sticky and persist.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, so obviously to explore the six innovation areas a little bit more in depth, it's something that the report focuses on in great detail. So Marina, maybe we can start with you. Could you talk a little bit more about what these six innovation areas actually mean? Like, what are they? Why are they so important? Things like that?
Yes, absolutely. So in 2017, the federal government announced a vision for Canada to become a global leader in innovation and formed the foundation for these six innovation areas. Our research deems these economic innovation areas as key areas of the economy that are expected to contribute substantially to employment and overall to the digital economy. And specifically, these areas are, they're mentioned in the report, clean tech, clean resources, health and biotech, advanced manufacturing, agri-food and food tech, and interactive digital media. And as Akshay mentioned, this area is already growing faster from the economic and employment perspective, as well as they had a higher advanced technology adoption rate compared to other non-digital or traditional sectors of the economy. And we do expect that this innovation area will continue to perform better than the rest of the economy over the next several years.
So if we were to look at the six areas specifically, so there's a couple that you just mentioned mixed in with more leading edge, like digital creative sector, things like that. But you did mention things like agriculture, manufacturing, energy, health. The report suggests that they've seen some obviously pretty rapid transformation, including new digital skills and roles, which Akshay touched on previously. So should Canadians expect to see that these areas are going to become entirely transformed, including their labor needs? Or are we going to stick with a little bit more of the analog processes for now, and it'll be sort of a slow digital transition? Or where do things stand right now in your perspective?
Yeah, it's a good question, Nathan. As we all say, today the whole economy is digital to some degree.
Yeah, that's fair.
And the COVID-19 pandemic just emphasized the importance of digitization across all sectors of the economy and proved that those sectors with a strong digital base has shown to be, I would say, more insulated from shocks associated with COVID-19.
Okay.
And digital adoption is quickly becoming mission critical for all Canadian businesses. And businesses are transforming. Many are focusing on investment in digital infrastructure like cloud technology, e-commerce, intelligent supply chain, automation, you name it.
Yeah.
And as we see sustained technological investments, improved digital infrastructure, and increased adoption of advanced technologies, we expect the demand for digital skills labor will scale along with them.
Okay, perfect. Actually, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think something that we'll touch upon later as well is sort of this idea of a labor shortage, right? And what we're seeing is that as Canada's population ages, a lot of industries are sort of, are foreseeing further shortages of labor. And part of the solution there as well is that businesses are investing in technology to try and up their productivity of a shrinking labor pool. So that is also expected to be a factor that would sort of be a spur for digitization.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, actually, so just to explore that a little bit, I mean, obviously, if you're listening to the news right now in Ontario, the conversation about a potential labor shortage isn't just unique to this province. It's not just unique to BC. It's not even just unique to Canada. But obviously, there is a bit of a labor shortage, specifically through the Canadian lens. Employers in many sectors, like spanning different skill levels, are reporting obviously pretty high turnover, difficulties with recruitment, things like that. So this report specifically touches on the labor shortage issue across different innovation areas. Did you come across any evidence in your research about what might be at the root of all of this? Is there something specifically that's causing it? Is it like multiple different factors all kind of coming together to cause a critical shortage? Marina, what are your thoughts on that?
Yes, we actually did. And as mentioned earlier, Canada's key innovation areas are well positioned for long-term growth through increased adoption of digital technologies. But In order to get there, we need to have a talent pipeline with a particular emphasis on digital and business skills. And employment across the innovation areas has grown at a faster rate than other non-digital or traditional areas of the economy over the last years, which is likely due to increased technology adoption.
Mm-hmm.
And demand for skilled talent is high across the whole economy, we know that. But it is important to know that addressing this demand will involve not just increasing the number of workers in the industry. For example, a short visit to a job board like Indeed or any other will quickly demonstrate that the jobs that are in demand are changing. And with many of these jobs and skills required by workers now being digital or somehow tech related. And according to interviews and according to advisory committee members, certain jobs are more in demand and harder to fill than others.
Sure, yeah.
When we ask why some technical roles are hard to find, interviews explain that tech is very competitive space with a lot of aggressive hiring happening and big money being offered all around and mm-hmm. limited supply of talent.
Yeah, which means that obviously in certain instances, I'm assuming that small to medium-sized businesses or SMEs for short, they probably have a much more difficult time competing against large industry that can obviously offer more, have potentially more well-built out, well-established, well-fleshed out HR policies, benefits, things like that. So it must make the landscape pretty difficult for a small to medium-sized business, eh?
Indeed. And, you know, another thing that we're seeing of late is that, you know, it's not just wage increases that are, you know, a way out. There's also, you know, employers are competing to offer benefits, flexible work arrangements and stuff now as well.
Sure.
In the post-pandemic era. So that, again, is a competitive force. It sort of, you know, adds pressure to the, you know, to an already constrained labor market. And the one thing mm-hmm. I wanted to touch upon was to distinguish sort of, you know, the issue we raise in the report, which is to do with a lack of supply, you know, of a shortage of skilled talent, of skilled supply in tech sector versus some of the more aggregate trends that we're seeing, you know, particularly in low security roles, like in the, you know, hospitality sector, for example, where there's a glut of openings, you know, there's a large number of job vacancies, but there just isn't enough people applying for these jobs, you know.
Interesting.
So I think I just want to compare and contrast the two things here. And again, as I said, there, you know, there's a few major factors in play, along with some factors in play in the Canadian labor market anyway, demographics being the first one. So we've seen sort of, you know, labor force participation drop from 67.5% or so, you know, around 2006 to 2008, steadily decline, you know, to about under 65% now. You know, a lot of it is because Canada's population is aging. You know, if we, in the next 3 years, I think there's an expectation of about 600,000 more workers coming to retirement age, you know, as the baby boomers sort of, as waves of baby boomers move into the to the 65 plus category. And so there's a demographic trend that's sort of, you know, a bit of a longer term trend in Canada and much of the developing world for that, developed world for that matter. And then there's also, you know, some of the shifts that have been brought in place by this large shock that COVID-19 precipitated, which was, you know, what we've seen is that while at the aggregate level, as of September, this past September, employment has sort of caught up to its level pre-pandemic, you know, so we're back to the 19 plus million jobs that we have, you know, in terms of employment. What we've seen is that there's been a redistribution along these sectors because, you know, the digital economy, for example, is up 20% from its level pre-pandemic, whereas sectors like, you know, hospitality, accommodation and food services, construction, even agriculture, you know, they have seen a massive drop compared to their pre-pandemic levels and are finding it hard to fill in workers. And so the issue here is more to do with, you know, less of a lack of interest. You know, a lot of people, especially sectors, were sort of staffed with younger workers who've taken the pandemic as an opportunity to sort of, you know, to reskill, upskill, move away into professional services as opposed to stick with these jobs that, you know, obviously had relatively lower security, you know, as was sort of painfully brought to the fore during the pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, that's good. Thanks for explaining that. One of the things that I thought was super interesting, we've sort of touched on it passively already, but the report talks about something called a K-shaped recovery or divergent outcomes. Could you explain what those are, what this is, and why this is important?
Absolutely, yeah. So in the aftermath of the initial pandemic, you know, shock of the pandemic, in the second quarter of 2022, there was like an alphabet soup of potential, you know, paths the recovery could take. There was talk of a V-shaped recovery, a U-shaped recovery. you know, with a steep comeback or a more gradual uptick to pre-pandemic trends. There was talk of an L-shaped recovery, which is a more permanent sort of loss of output and productivity. And the K-1 is just sort of shorthand for the idea that there's been the hardship hasn't been shared equally. So, you know, what we've seen overall is that the pandemic recovered fairly quickly once the first waves of lockdowns were unrolled in the second half of 2020. And even further, you know, got a further boost with the successful rollout of vaccination campaigns across Canada and much of the developed world. But at the same time, you know, that aggregate trend kind of sort of hides the true picture to some extent and can be decomposed into two parts, hence the K, you know, with one path going up and one sort of going down or staying flat. And what we're seeing is that, you know, the outlook in terms of output and employment varied quite considerably by sector. You know, asset prices went up in the aftermath of the pandemic, which kind of meant that households that had, you know, investments in equity in real estate, you know, had a significant boost to health compared to income-dependent households, you know, which were and still to some degree are suffering in the aftermath of the pandemic. Also, what we found is that, you know, the impact of the pandemic is very unequal across markers like age, gender, level of education. You know, a lot of people with bachelor's degrees and higher tended to have jobs in the knowledge economy, which were a lot less precarious. They were they transitioned to remote work easily. They were, you know, whereas a lot of the lower income workers or lower education workers tended to have sort of be employed in sectors that were either deemed non-essential or were not conducive to, you know, were sort of in person or sort of high touch sectors, and so they suffered disproportionately during lockdowns, and the recovery since also has been much, much slower. So while there, you know, with the new boost in employment in the more recent past, in the last couple of months, we've seen some of the trends that we've discussed in the report are reversing, are the gaps narrowing, you know, in the last few months. The fact that the recovery was so prolonged still points to, you know, systemic differences and sort of divergent paths, as we discussed, you know.
Yeah.
For female workers, for workers with lower formal education, for workers who are younger.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, thanks for that explanation. I think that's great. One of the things that I wanted to do is sort of wrap up on a little bit more of a positive note. Not that that isn't, but just a little bit of optimism. So the report focuses, or forecasts rather, a demand for an additional 250,000 jobs in Canada's digital economy through 2025. Obviously, as people work that work in the ICT field, that's fantastic news. It obviously it's a blessing in disguise, potentially challenging for some industries that are having a hard time finding skilled labor. But how do we expect that demand to be filled? Like, what do we have to look forward to? What kind of changes should be made in order to help sort of address this this gap or this issue? Marina, maybe we can start with you.
Sure, great question again. As said, the demand for digitally skilled talent continues to accelerate. And in order to fulfill this demand, it is critical to use a diverse and inclusive approach and engage in various streams, supply streams. This means that we need to engage not only a male computer science graduate with 3 to 6 years of experience, but a variety of groups, including women, youth, international educated professionals, career transitioners, indigenous populations, people with disabilities, and essentially try to be as inclusive as possible. Okay. And ICTC can help here. As an example, ICTC offers various talent programs for newcomers, women, youth, and work-integrated learning, or WELL, is one of them. And the WELL program basically helps youth to integrate in the digital economy. It helps new graduates to get industry experience and helps to equip them with required in-demand digital skills.
Perfect. Oh, that's great. Akshay, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I think Marina briefly touched upon the, you know, the importance of career transitioners and the importance of sort of reskilling and upskilling. And I think, yeah, another program that ICTC sort of recently implemented in Calgary based on some of the research we did and then which is now being handled by the programs team, was something we call Edge Up, which kind of maps the skills and competencies of various workers in Alberta's energy, oil and gas sector.
Okay.
And sort of map their current skills with the demand in demand skills for a lot of roles in the digital economy in Alberta, in particular in database management and sort of data centric roles. And what we found is that there is a surprising, you know, there's a surprisingly large overlap. And so the transition from, you know, what is a sort of slowing down and sort of stagnating sector in Alberta, two sort of areas of high growth, two things like clean energy, you know, which again have sort of come to the fore in the post-pandemic recovery, you know, and fiscal stimulus. It's a fairly, you know, it's an easier transition than would appear, given the fact that there are a lot of skills that do carry over, you know, even though technology and sort of drilling or oil and gas operations might seem fairly disparate. And so part of this program, you know, highlights different transition paths and different skill pathways that people and, you know, displaced workers in the oil and gas sector can undertake to transition into tech roles. And it sort of works as both, you know, as a win-win, right? I mean, it sort of helps workers transition into an area of growth and
industries in need.
Boost the local economy in Calgary as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's really topical right now. Obviously, there's big conversations taking place in the clean energy conversation here in Canada. So if there's programs like Edge Up, obviously taking place in Alberta, that does exactly that, take stagnating, I like that word choice, stagnating industries and transitioning that skilled workforce into another highly skilled and lucrative opportunity and industry that's likely to jump off here in Canada. I mean,
With a minimal amount of friction as well.
Absolutely. No, that's fantastic. I just want to thank both of you guys, obviously, for taking the time to chat with me about the Outlook report. I think it's fantastic. Obviously, there's a ton of really important information we didn't touch on that's in the report. But thanks to both of you guys for taking the time to connect with me today.
Thanks, Nathan.
Thank you, Nathan.
To learn more about the Information and Communication Technology Council's work, head on over to ictc-ctic.ca. If you're interested in supporting the professional development of a local post-secondary student, ICTC's WILL program, which you just heard us touch on a moment ago, is offering Canadian businesses a subsidy for the creation of high-value co-op opportunities. You can find a link to ICTC's WILL program and the Onwards and Upwards Digital Talent Outlook 2025 report in today's show notes, along with all previously mentioned resources. So thank you so much today to our production team, Tyler Farmer and Fawn Rice, and thank you most of all for tuning in today.